Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to share the message of God's grace with you in the area of healing today. And a little bit later in the session, I'm going to speak a little bit about the fear of God in the heart of man. You know, so many times we've got such a wrong concept about fearing God. We're going to look at what Jesus says about the fear of God. And I mean, that's exciting. You're going to be so blessed. So stay tuned for that part as well. Now, there must be a lot of you listening to this that's been struggling with sickness for many years. Maybe you've been prayed for many times and you don't receive healing. Now, I've got good news for you. The fact that God wants to heal you has not changed. The fact that you have been healed upon the cross and in the wounds of Jesus Christ has not changed. So we're going to look at Isaiah 53 and we're going to read right there from verse 5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, so many times we think that we can have peace by trying to sacrifice something, knowing that God will heal us once we've sacrificed something. Now, there's nothing further from the truth. There's only one sacrifice that will bring peace unto you, and that was the chastisement that was upon Jesus Christ, the punishment, the pain that was inflicted in his body, and that was what brings peace. Now, if you don't understand that, you must really get to a point where you can say, "Lord, I want to understand, what does it mean when Jesus was chastised, or when pain was inflicted upon him, how can that bring peace in my life?" Now, I've got a series on the peace of God, and at the end of the program, you can get my details and write to me, and we can just send you that whole series for donation of any amount, or if you cannot donate, we'll send it to you for free. But let's just read verse 5 again, just the last part. It says, "And with his stripes we are healed." And with his stripes we are healed. Now, by the blood of Jesus, healing came, salvation came unto us. And by the stripes of Jesus, healing came unto us. Now let me read that again. It's so powerful, and we must get this right into our minds. It says, let me read from verse 5 at the beginning, "And he was wounded for our transgressions." You know, so many times we get wounded through certain situations, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. "The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, when we look at the word healed, we've also got to look at the word sick. Now, in the Hebrew language, the word sick has got a very significant meaning to it. It's the word chala in the Hebrew, and it literally means, if you take the three letters, which is the cheth, lamed, and he, and you put it together, the picture value of every letter, if you put it together, you get a wonderful message out of that. The word cheth literally means to infence or to camp off. Lamed means to teach or teaching. And the letter he, which is pronounced like when a man breathes heavily, when he breathes out, when you say he, means grace. So the word sick literally means to encamp or hedge the teaching of grace. And that is happening today all over the world. You know, so many times the teaching of grace, people just want to put it in a little camp. You know, this is grace, and then we've got the fear of God. And then we've got this teaching about all the what you must obey and what you must do. You know, if you want to be well-loved by people, just tell them what they must do. You know, tell them the do's and don'ts, and people will like you. Because when you tell them what they must do, then they can feel good, because they can look at the things that they do right and then at least feel they are worth something. But if you look at grace, man, it is bringing such a greater worth to the lives of people. It's better to be in the grace message. Grace is everywhere. Now, the word sick. Sickness comes to people when we are not in the grace of God. Now, I don't say that every sickness that is in your body, maybe you've got the flu today, and you can say, "But where have I been out of the grace of God?" No, that's not what I mean. You know, Adam, when he stepped into the law, out of grace, sickness was introduced into this world. And Jesus Christ came and He stepped out of the law into grace. And He introduced grace unto us because the Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And by that grace we can be healed. Hallelujah. So the word sick literally means to encamp the teaching of grace or to hedge of the teaching of grace. Now the word heal is also three letters. It means it is rapha. It consists out of three letters, resh, pe, and he, again the letter for grace. Resh means head. Pe means mouth, and he means grace. Now what does that mean? It literally means to think and to speak the grace of God. Hallelujah. Man, that is good news. It brings excitement to my heart. Now, sickness is to encamp the teaching of grace. Healing, or to heal, which is Rapha, which is one of the names of God, Jehovah Rapha, or one of the attributes of God, God the healer, or the one that heals, it literally means to think and to speak grace. Now, how does God heal you? He's going to speak His grace over you. And grace and truth is His glory, and it came by Jesus Christ. It's very important to know that the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 17, that grace and truth came by Jesus, and the law came by Moses. So you can see that grace, that truth is on the side of grace and not on the side of the law. So if you want to walk in truth, you must walk by the grace of God, by the influence that Jesus had upon the lives of people through what He's done. So how are you going to be healed today? You need to tap into the grace of God. Now, what is the grace of God? How do I get into the grace of God? It's very easy. What is grace? The Greek meaning for the word grace is very easy. It is God's influence upon man through Jesus Christ. If I can just put it in the simplest words, God's influence upon the hearts of people through Jesus Christ. Now, how has God influenced your life concerning your health? Let me read that scripture. It says, "And with His stripes we are healed." So, God saw all of mankind full of sickness. Then He said, "Let me take their sickness upon me," and He carried our diseases. He carried every sickness and the punishment for disobedience, which was sickness and disease, according to the Old Testament, was upon the body of Jesus. Man, isn't that wonderful? That is so powerful to know that God loves us and cares for us, and that He will only think and speak grace to get you healed. Now, you know, there's a whole world that is brokenhearted. There's a whole world that is in sickness, spiritual sickness, where the message of grace has been camped off and they cannot think of the message of grace. Now, I don't want to be spiritually sick and I don't want to be physically sick. I want to walk in the health of God, and the health of God is meditating and speaking what Jesus has freely given unto us. Hallelujah. You know, to think of it this way, if the word grace is the sign value or the picture value of the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter he, which is like a man breathing hard, like, let me make the sound, it says, like that. It is literally speaking of grace. And when God made man, He made him out of the dust of the earth. And then He breathed. He said, and it was the grace that entered man, the breath of God, which is the grace of God, entered that dust mud man, and he became a living soul. The breath of life is the grace of God. The breath of life, the fresh breath of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit in the world today is the message of grace. And that is what will bring healing to your physical body today. And what God has done, He has breathed upon His disciples. He breathed upon them and said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick." You know, once they've received grace, they could heal the sick because they could meditate and speak grace, which is Jesus. Amen. And what He's done for man. So there is grace for you today. So I'm going to pray for you, and we're just going to see the touch of God in your life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to thank You that many people will be healed today by Your power. I come in the mighty name of Jesus, and I speak to you as you're listening to my voice right now. I speak the grace of God over you. I say you are healed by Jesus. He has influenced your life, and through His wounds and Him carrying your sickness, health has come to you. And I say cancer, be healed. AIDS, be healed. Back problems, be healed. All pain, arthritis, sugar diabetes, every brain defect, in the name of Jesus, be now healed in Jesus' mighty name. I just see somebody that has been, I think you've been in an accident and you've hurt your shoulder and you could never lift your shoulder about higher than that. I just feel you must just lift your shoulder. You've been healed right now. Just start to lift it. You might say, but I've got an operation. I've got metal plates and pins in there. Lift your arm. Jesus is healing you right now. Thank you, my God. There's also a person there with hearing aid. You're sitting with hearing aid and you struggle to hear. And take that hearing aid off. God has healed you. He's touched you right now. I see it's a colored man, a brown man listening to me with a hearing aid. God is healing you in the mighty name of Jesus. Also, there's many other miracles happening. God is touching people. Migraine problems are being healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak the peace of God, the health of God, and the life of God into your physical body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, there's been a number on the screen, and I want you to just send your praise report and what God has done, your healing, to that number so that we can just hear what God has done for you. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to continue with the session by speaking on the peace, on the fear of God, so that we can have peace in our hearts. Hallelujah. The scripture we're going to use is from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get behind me, Satan, for it's written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Let me read it again. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now what the devil said unto Jesus is to bow down before him and to worship him. Now then Jesus quoted scripture. And out of that scripture, he said, you are only allowed to worship God. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13. And we're just going to look at the scripture that Jesus quoted. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. Now, when we look at the fear that is in the lives of people when it comes to God, it is astonishing to see that people in the New Testament are still afraid of God. We are not supposed to be afraid of God. We are not supposed to walk in this deep fear of God. So many times and I see so many people still preaching in the New Testament, be afraid of God. God's going to punish you. God's going to bring pain to you. God's going to hurt you. I don't know what. All those things. And that is not from God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read there from verse 13. It says, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Let me read it again. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. So what the Bible literally says is that we are supposed to fear God. That word fear there in the original language means literally to be terrified of, to be scared. Now, that is not the plan of God, but that's what the scripture says. Now, Jesus quoted this very scripture out of the Old Testament, and there was a certain word which he translated. Let's look at that word, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Jesus took the word to be terrified or to make afraid or to be scared, and he removed it out of that scripture. Now Jesus is the Word. Hallelujah. And he's got the right to change words in the scripture. He changed that scripture. He requoted and rewrote it. And he said, it's not to be terrified, but it's to worship. Now, the Greek word there is the word proskuneo. Now, proskuneo is a beautiful word. It literally means to kiss or to lick the hand of a master. Now, it speaks of a dog licking the hand of a master. Now, the whole word proskuneo is not to say that you're a dog. You know, a legalist will hear that you're a dog. You're not a dog. It speaks about the worship that a dog has for its master. Now, I've got three dogs, two Burbuls and one Jack Russell. And when I come home with my car, I mean, when they hear the car, when I come from the tar road onto the farm road, they start to run towards the gate. And then they run all around the car. And when I get out, they start to lick me, jump onto me. And they're so excited to see me. Do you know why? It's because I love them. It's because I don't go around kicking them every day. If I've been kicking the dog all day, do you think that he will worship me? Do you think that he will lick my hand? He will not do that. When he sees my car, he will run. That's the way it is. If you every day kick your dog and your dog is afraid of you, when your dog sees you, he will look away, and like a dog does when he sees somebody of great authority or that he's scared of, or another dog that's greater than him, he will look away, because that's what a dog does when he's scared and when he realizes this other dog or this person wants to bring harm or hurt me. That is fear, or to be terrified. Now, we're not supposed to have that. Jesus said we're not supposed to be terrified of God. We must have such a wonderful relationship with God as what a dog has with his master if the master treats him well. Like a dog has with a master when he licks his hand, when he's excited, when he jumps around, when he... Man, every time I see, I come home from town, or especially if I've been away for a week preaching somewhere and I come home, I mean, that dog jumps up and down. He's all around me. He rolls on the ground. He jumps right into the car, onto my lap, starts to lick me in my face. Now, why does he do that? Because that is honor and reverence. That is worship in the heart of God. That's why Jesus used that word. We must realize that's written in red. Let's read it again. It comes from the lips of our Savior. It comes from the lips of Jesus himself. It says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." You know, fear does not produce righteousness. And I'm going to repeat myself. Fear will not produce righteousness. You know, if my wife makes me a cup of coffee because she's afraid I'm going to punish her or take the money I give to her to buy her some clothes every month away from her, that's not worship. That's not love. That is a sick relationship. And as we looked at the word sick in the Hebrew language, that is when the teaching of grace is fenced off from people. It's sick. It's sickening to think that people must be afraid of God. If my wife just do things for me and my children come and they run towards me, give me a hug because they're scared of me, and if they don't do it, I'm going to come and I'm going to beat up on them. Or I'm going to take their privileges away. You know, a father like that is not a good father. He needs to be trained by some good fathers on how to be a father. The Bible says, if your earthly father knows how to give good things unto you, how much more your heavenly father, which is the best God there is, the best father there can ever be. Hallelujah. And that's what God says. We can know that God wants to have a relationship with us that's based on acceptance, based on love, based on God making you feel worth something. You know, how can you come to God with a low self-worth? How can you come to God thinking you're just nothing every day, and that nothing comes out of His strong personality that He forces down on you? It's not like that. You know, so many times when I hear a sermon over television or radio or somebody preaching saying, you know, the time of Ananias and Sapphira must come back to the church because the fear of God must get into the hearts of people. You know, I just say, oh God, have mercy on the church. Have mercy on the sinners, because that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, imagine the days of Ananias and Sapphira returning. One person telling a lie, and here comes the powerful Holy Spirit and just squashes you like a bug. And then everybody else, you tell them, this is the God of love. Man, it's pathetic. Let me tell you the truth. God loves you, and He cares for you. If the days of Ananias and Sapphira would come back, you know, it will go like this. You'll come to your friend, and maybe he's from a certain church, a denomination, you from another denomination. You would say, well, you know, we had a wonderful service. We had about 2,000 people out for the meeting, and man, there's revival. You know what? 20 died. Oh, the friend would go off and say, that's nothing. You know, at our church, the Holy Spirit's really there. 40 died. Do you think people want to go to church? Why do people want to connect death to God? Death must be connected to the ministration of death, which is written and engraved on stones, which is the law. Oh, hallelujah. Let's read it again. It's so powerful. It says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him shall you serve. God says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him shall you serve. God is not into the killing business. He doesn't want anybody to be afraid of Him. Do you think that anybody was afraid of Jesus? Do you think the children, when they saw Jesus, fear came into their hearts to be terrified of? Now that's the Old Testament meaning of the word to fear God. The New Testament meaning, where Jesus took the word fear, is the word worship. Proskuneo, to worship like a dog which is fond of his master. Hallelujah. You know what he said? It is said that a dog is a man's best friend. And that is what, and I like that example, that word proskuneo, where you say a dog is a man's best friend, because God wants you to be His best friend, and He wants to be your best friend. And that is true honor and worship for God. You know, God has done everything. Let's fear Him in this sense by honoring Him and receiving His total friendship, His message of grace and love. You know, let's quickly go to Romans chapter 14, and I want to read there from verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. And we just look at the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14, verses 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not in the physical. Okay? But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So many times we think the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but fear and being terrified and completely careful of God. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. God wants you to have righteousness, peace, and joy. And the most powerful piece about this scripture here is in the Holy Spirit. In the grace of God. Not in your own works and your own trying harder, but in the grace of God. Man, it was wonderful to share this message with you. I believe that you've been blessed by this. Thank you that you've joined me. Make use of our ministry products that we've got available at the end of the service. And God bless you.